Social media is a numbers game. I mean, let's face it, if you look at the statistics, the more you post, no matter what industry you're in, no matter what platform you're on, the more you will likely grow.
Hello, and welcome to the Mommy Millionaire Show. This is your host, Kayla Kraft. I am a mom of three, multimillionaire, master life coach, and money mindset queen. I am so happy and thankful that you're here. I am actually on a mission to help 1 million women make $1 million or more a year. That could be you. Every week, I'm bringing you inspiring stories to help you feel empowered, to broaden your horizons, to gain clarity and strategy on living your best life. Over at Mommy Millionaire, we pursue our lives with purpose and love, and the riches always follow. So stay tuned because I'm bringing you episodes twice a week. I believe you are your biggest asset. So let's build you up today. Let's get into it. Hello and welcome to today's episode. Are you somebody who wants to monetize your personal brand and impact even more people? If so, Mommy Millionaires, today we have a super exciting episode for all of you wanting to learn how to monetize your social media. Today's guest is Brock Johnson. He's a 25-year-old seven-figure entrepreneur with a passion for helping others grow their following and business on Instagram. He is the co-host of a top 10 business podcast, instructor of multiple online courses, and he's a viral social media creator. Brock has helped thousands of entrepreneurs learn to build their business on social media, even with limited time and money. So welcome, Brock, to Mommy Millionaire.
Thank you so much for having me, Kayla. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Okay, so how in the heck did you gain 400,000 followers on Instagram in just a year? This is the question everybody is asking of Brock.
Right. It was a wild journey. It was 1,000 followers a day net for over 400 days in a row. And it all started with a challenge for myself. Back in April of 2021, I saw everyone was posting reels. I myself was posting a few every single week. And I was also preaching consistency, right? I was talking about posting every day. And I was starting to learn that the more posts you made, the more chances you would have to go viral and to reach more people and to grow your following. And so this really just started with a challenge for myself to post one reel per day for 30 days. And at that time, I think I was just below 70,000 followers. At the end of my first month, at the end of the first 30 days, I was over 100,000 followers. So I had grown by more than 30,000 followers that first month. And it was that success in the first month that made me go, well, shoot, let's keep going. Let's keep doing this. Like, why stop now if this is working so well? And so I just kept doing it and kept doing it. And now here we are 18 months later, and I'm still posting at least one reel per day and still growing at a rate of about 1,000 followers a day. So it really goes back to that consistency. Consistency of posting reels, but really even before the reels, it all started out with a niche. So I had a very clear topic that I was going to be talking about. I had a very clear avatar or person, ideal follower, if you will, who I would be talking to. And so every single one of my reels was about that topic, and it was made specially for my ideal follower.
So is that one of the biggest takeaways you got from this journey is like niche down?
Oh, absolutely. And then niche down even further, and then niche down again after that. Because, you know, for about 3 or 4 years, I had been posting Instagram content, how to grow on Instagram, how to use Instagram stories. But really what changed in April of 2021 is I stopped talking so much about all the other areas of Instagram, and I even doubled down my focus to just Instagram Reels and helping people figure out how to go viral and grow their following and get engagement just with Instagram Reels. So I didn't just niche down to the platform. I niched down to the specific feature within the platform. And so, yeah, that's definitely the biggest takeaway I think I've had from it, besides the fact that you have to be consistent, is you have to be willing to get as niched down as you possibly can.
Yeah, I have been teaching about the niche for years and years, and I feel like it's one of those things that people resist the most. You probably see this because they feel like, oh, I don't want to leave out everybody else. And they don't realize that the more that you niche down, you actually end up helping different types of people even more. Have you seen that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's really scary, right, to pick just one kind of person or one demographic or one topic to talk about. But when you stay vanilla and you're kind of talking about everything and you're kind of trying to keep everyone happy and talk to everyone at once, you end up resonating with no one because you're so basic and vanilla and it's nothing specific. We've all seen those posts, right? When we're scrolling on social media and we're like, oh my gosh, that's me. Like this post, they are literally living inside my brain because this is me. Those posts come because the creator knows their niche. The creator created this post with you in mind. And those posts are the ones that go viral, that get shared, that really lead to more followers. It's not the vanilla post that is supposed to appeal to everyone that really resonates with anyone.
Absolutely. Some people's flavor is vanilla, but most of us like the ones that are more niche to our taste buds. So I love that you say that. Now, what made you like obsessed with Instagram? Like even before the Reels, you were focused on teaching people Instagram. What made you choose this platform specifically?
Yeah, I think a few things. I think number one is the fact that there are so many different kinds of posts that you can make on Instagram. And for a lot of people, that feels overwhelming. And they point at that as one of the issues with Instagram, is that there's too many features. But I think of that as one of Instagram's strengths, because whether you're really good at graphic design, you can take a great photo, you can make a quick video, you can make a long video, you can make a Instagram story, you can go live. Instagram offers all these different capabilities. And so I think that's a real strength of the platform. And I thought that that diversity really lended itself to being a powerful platform. And then there was something that I had a hunch about and that we had seen in our own business and that we had seen in a lot of our students' businesses, but I hadn't seen the actual data put together until just recently. And the hunch was that Instagram was the best platform when it came to selling. And we believed this. And like I said, we'd seen this in our own business and I'd seen this in so many of my students, but I didn't know if it was true for sure until recently when a study was done by Carrot Financial, in which they found the average revenue generated per follower. That was what they broke down, is how much could you realistically on average expect to make for one single follower? And on TikTok, it was 7 cents per follower. On YouTube, it was about 18 cents per follower. And on Instagram, it was 77 cents per follower. So more than 10 times what TikTok followers are worth. And of course, that's speaking specifically about sales and customers. That has nothing to do with ad revenue or brand partnership. That's speaking specifically about sales and marketing. But that really solidified this belief that we've had for years, which is that Instagram is really the top dog when it comes to selling products and generating customers or leads.
So speaking of sales, how did you go from teaching yourself everything there is to know about Instagram to teaching other businesses and entrepreneurs how to do it?
Yeah. So this was very much a natural journey. I actually got my start on Snapchat about 6 years ago, and I grew a following on Snapchat. And then I eventually learned how to sell and market and use Snapchat stories as a way to grow my business. And a lot of the same principles that apply to Snapchat stories apply to Instagram and selling on Instagram as well. But a lot of my quote unquote education or my training or how I learned to teach other people to sell is through hours and hours and hours of one-on-one coaching. Over the year 2020 and 2021, I believe I did over 500 hours of one-on-one coaching and consultations with people. So I really got my hands dirty and got into the nitty-gritty of just about every single niche, whether people are selling essential oils or they're real estate agents or they're selling insurance or they're selling handmade ribbons for their hair. I really got to learn what each one of these different industries does and the challenges that they are presented with. And I started to recognize the commonalities that all of them had. So that's what allowed me to become the Instagram coach that I am today.
Yes. You just started out by doing consultations and then was InstaClub Hub born out of that?
Exactly. Yeah. So the InstaClub Hub, that's my mom and I's Instagram membership that we run together. And that was a COVID baby. That was a pandemic baby. So we were living together because I had been kicked out of my university where I was going to college because COVID had shut everything down. So I was living back at home, going to school online. And my mom and I were talking and we were like, Instagram changes every single day, basically. There's new features, there's new algorithm changes, there's always new things happening on Instagram. So we can't just keep creating new courses, right? Because then we're coming out with a new course every 2 to 3 months and a new master class and a new training every 2 to 3 weeks. And then we're constantly having to sell and market when that doesn't really make sense because Instagram's constantly changing. So why don't we offer people a membership so they can pay a monthly fee or an annual fee and we can just continually provide them with this education, with these updates, with these changes, with these trending audios. So that's how the Insta Club Hub was born. And I believe we launched it in November of 2020. So at the very end of 2020.
I love that. You guys give me hope because I have a 12, 10, and an 8-year-old and they always say that one day they're going to take over Mommy Millionaire. My kids say they're going to do Daddy Billionaire one day. I'm like, go ahead. That's awesome. So I love hearing that you and your mom are working together.
I love that. I love that.
So back to Instagram. What is the most common thing like you see businesses lacking when it comes to social media and besides the niche?
I think that besides the niche, which I'm glad you said that because that's definitely the biggest thing that most are lacking. I believe that the consistency is really another thing that a lot of accounts are lacking because social media is a numbers game. I mean, let's face it. If you look at the statistics, the more you post, no matter what industry you're in, no matter what platform you're on, the more you will likely grow. And I'm talking more than one post a day, 2 or 3 or even 4 feed posts per day. The more you post, the more you grow. And I think what most people get hung up on is they're trying to make these amazing posts, the slam dunk, the home run with every single post. They're trying to make an A-plus level post. When in reality, what my mom told me when I went off to college was that C's get degrees. And what that basically means is that whatever is good enough for you, whatever you're capable of creating, that's good enough. And so I want to encourage everyone listening to just press post, to stop overthinking it, stop overanalyzing it and putting all those pretty filters and photoshopping and trying to make sure that every little I is dotted and T is crossed and instead just press post because chances are there's another business owner out there who isn't worrying about those things and they did post 3 times today. Meanwhile, you're trying to make your post so perfect that you're stuck in this analysis paralysis and you're never pressing post. So you're never growing your audience. So you're never getting the engagement. So you're never getting the customers and the sales. And then we wonder why over a 3 or 6 or 9 month period, that person's business and following has grown so much, but ours just feels so stuck. It really is just a numbers game.
It's funny because I took your mom's course when I first started years ago. She had an Instagram course. I can't remember what it was called, but it had to have been like 7, 8 years ago. And that's how I started my Instagram. And she had a little bit of a different like philosophy back then. Remember when she used to tell people to have like different accounts for like different, your for every like thing you love to talk about and stuff. So I had done that for a little bit, but really like it does come back to that consistency. She really taught me to like go get out of my head and just like start posting. And I know that that's what helped me like grow Mommy Millionaire to what it is today because I just got over that like perfection paralysis and just started doing. And I realized like, you know, you might make a spelling error, but you're like your loyal people, they don't care about that. You know, they'll even message me, hey, you got a spelling error. You know, how much is it again? Like, you know, they still want to buy. So it's so true.
Yeah. Yeah. And also the typos are great for engagement, right? Because the grammar police and the spelling police love to send you messages and comment, hey, you used the wrong word for there. You should have used this word. You typoed this. Thanks for the free comment. I appreciate the engagement.
Right. Right. So what are some of your top tips for converting followers into customers?
Yeah. So this is definitely a journey. This is not an overnight process. And I think another huge mistake that a lot of business owners are making, to go back to the last question, is they're selling too much on their Instagram feed. Their Instagram feed posts and their reels have started to turn into like a commercial. And obviously, when we see commercials on TV, we fast forward, we skip them, right? No one likes being sold to. No one likes a commercial. So your feed posts should gain the attention, should help with engagement and should help serve or connect with your audience. But the real selling takes place in the Instagram stories. And earlier I was talking about how my background in Snapchat stories translated so well to Instagram and selling on Instagram. And that's because sales on Instagram begin in the Instagram stories because that's where trust is built. That's where relationships happen. And the number one factor in people making a purchase, according to user data, according to consumer habits, the number one thing besides the price of the product is trust. So besides, you know, can I afford it? The number one thing besides that is, do they trust the person they're buying from? Do they trust the product? And that trust is built from consistently showing up authentically on your Instagram stories. That's where it starts. And then it finishes in the direct messages, because that's really where relationships are built. That's really where serving happens. That's really where, you know, you make this connection like we have right now on a one-on-one call where we're able to look each other face to face and have this conversation. The same can happen in the Instagram DMs. It's a one-on-one conversation, and that's the most powerful tool for selling. So to bring this full circle, the reason why an Instagram follower is 10 times more valuable than a TikTok follower is really just that Instagram's direct messages are such a focal point on the platform.
Absolutely. I found that really frustrating over on TikTok is that, you know, you have to follow the person back in order to DM back and forth with them, or else everything is in the comments and it's public. And it's like, people aren't going to really share what they're thinking. I mean, some people do, but most people are not really going to share their concerns or their questions in like that they really have in the comments when it's public. So I love that feature on Instagram. One of my most popular like podcast episodes is, you know, making seven figures in the DMs on social media, because that's where it is. You build so many, I always say conversations lead to relationships, relationships lead to business. So that is where it's at. Now, why do you think that like so many people get so hung up in like the Instagram algorithm? I find myself doing that all the time. I'll be like, oh, this reel got, you know, 70,000 likes. And now look at this one. It's at 1900 views. And I'm like, I'm not posting anymore. I'm done. Like the algorithm sucks. You know, why do you think like we get so caught up in that?
I think it's a few things. I think part of it is that it's human nature to seek out patterns and to look for things that are happening repeatedly. And so when we see a reel that gets 70,000 views, we're analyzing, what did I do right? What made it go viral? Why was it so popular? And then by the same token, when we get low views and the reel flops, we're like, oh, what did I do wrong? The algorithm hates me. There must be something I did wrong. And it is very valuable to look at the numbers and to analyze your posts and to figure out what worked and what didn't work. But also you have to recognize that just like in real life, things ebb and flow, things go up and down, right? And so it's very, 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 very normal, happens to everyone, to have great posts and posts that flop, viral posts and posts that do far below average. That's just part of social media. It would be impossible for every single post to go viral. And I think that's something that a lot of people miss in my 2 years of crazy fast Instagram growth. It wasn't like every one of my posts went viral. In fact, it was 42 total posts. In the first, I think it was 600 posts that I made during this year and a half stretch, 42 of the 600 went viral for me. Like by my own definition, it went viral. It got a significantly more views than the rest. So that means that all of the other ones, the other, I don't know, 558 did below average, or they did average at best. And so I think the first thing that I can tell people is to stop stressing out so much if one post does well or one post does bad. It's ultimately always going to do that. That's just the reality of social media. And then also, I think that the reason that we get so caught up in the algorithm is that it's this like mystical, magical thing that not very many people understand. And so it's much easier to blame something like that, right? It's always much easier to say, ah, the algorithm just hates me today, or Instagram sucks and I hate their new algorithm changes. It's easy to blame something that we don't really understand and that no one really knows for sure what it's about.
So good. So just keep being consistent, focus on serving people, really. And I love that you have the data. 42 out of the 600 went viral. And if you got focused on those other ones, why didn't they do well? You'd probably wouldn't have a successful Insta Club Hub today.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about Insta Club Hub for a second. I am obsessed with Insta Club Hub. I tell everybody, I have a big social retail team, and I always tell everybody in it, go to Insta Club Hub, buy it. Like, you guys need it. But a lot of them don't know what they're doing in social media. And some have, hopefully. I don't know. But I know you guys have thousands of members in that group. Why do you think it's so successful today? And why do you think somebody like me who's not even in it is like telling people to buy it?
Well, first of all, I really, really appreciate that. That does mean a lot. I think a few things. I think number one, the fact that we have kind of two different approaches to it, right? We have my mom and myself, my mom who's been doing business for 25 years, and me who's been alive for 25 years. You have someone who's very veteran and someone who's very much young and new to this entrepreneurship space. And then we also have my mom who's able to really identify with the challenges and the struggles that someone who wasn't born and raised on social media faces. And then you have myself, who is just obsessed with the algorithm and the numbers and with testing and trying things out, which brings me to the other point, which is that we are very willing and we are constantly testing and polling and trying out new things to find out what really works, right? Because our end goal is not that you spend more time on Instagram, it's that you spend less time, like less than an hour a day, but you're doing the things that actually move the needle, the things that actually make a difference, rather than filling your head with random ideas and, hey, here's a trending audio this week. That stuff's great, but really that's fluff, right? That's icing on the cake. As business owners, we need to know the real strategies that are going to make a difference, the things that are going to give us the most, the largest, and the fastest return on investment. And that's really what we focus on in the Insta Club Hub.
I love that philosophy. And obviously, it's working really well, and you guys are helping so many of your members. And all of these people, what they're doing is they're committed to becoming content creators. I find that a lot of people have difficulty even calling themselves that, right? Like, I am in the generation where, like, I didn't have a cell phone until I was 18 years old. So social media, you know, I didn't get on it until I was 23, and I started a business right then and there and learned social media as I went. And I'm very much in the headspace of, like, you know, I'm going to do it until I figure it out. And I'm going to hire the people to help me, you know, get to where I want to go. And I know that's a lot of people inside of your Insta Club Hub, but people that are brand new to saying, okay, I'm going to be a content creator. I want to, you know, entertain people. I want to captivate people. What are some strategies for these brand new content creators? Or maybe they've been trying to do it for years, but they're still not, like, great at it. What are some strategies that they can implement to embody the content creator?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think that there's this concept of imposter syndrome, right? Which so many of us feel, and especially when we throw out these terms like content creator or influencer or social media, whatever, expert, people have a lot of imposter syndrome. And the first thing I want to say is that that's normal, because when you are first getting started with something, calling yourself a new title, exploring a new business venture, you are quite literally an imposter. You've never done this before, and that's okay. So what do imposters do? They look at the people who have come before them. They look at the people who are well-known, who are experts, who have done this before, and they emulate what those people are doing. And a lot of times when you're first getting started, that's all you're doing. You're taking words that this person said, you're trying to figure out the way this person speaks, and eventually along the way, you figure out how to put your own spin on things. You figure out how to present things in your own way, in a way that feels very natural and real to you, but it's practice. At the end of the day, it's practice. It's posting for years and years and years and showing up online and having really bad posts. People always ask me, how do you make a great post? You post 300 really bad posts. And of course, I'm not saying to intentionally post crap, but what I am saying is to stop, like I said earlier, stressing out over trying to be perfect. Just press post and look at those posts as data points, as opportunities to practice, as opportunities to learn and get a little bit better, because that's the only real way to become a content creator, to become an influencer, to become someone who feels very comfortable online. Whenever we do something new, you're going to feel uncomfortable. That's human nature. But the more you do it, the easier it gets.
Do you have a routine around creating your own content? You know, do you have an hour a day that you're like, okay, this is my content creation mode? What does that look like?
Yeah. So for me, I've tried that. I've tried everything under the sun. I've tried batching. I've tried setting aside an hour a day. I've tried setting aside an hour a week. I've tried setting aside 4 hours at the beginning of the month that should last me the whole rest of the month. And for what I've found for me, what works best is what I like to call chunking my content. Another easier way to say it is time blocking. So rather than having a set window from 3 to 4 p.m., I'm going to record my reels, or every single Sunday, I'm going to create my content. I do it when I feel inspired and when I have the time to, because I think a lot of entrepreneurs will relate to this. No 2 days are the same. Some days you got to put out a bunch of fires over here and you're working really hard. And the next day you're busy with something else and you don't have time to even think about the project from the day before. But what I like to do is create my reels one step at a time. So rather than the idea of batching, which is I create an entire reel, I record it, I edit it, I write the caption, I schedule it. Okay, then I move on to the next one. I think that each one of those different steps requires a different mind space or headspace to be in, right? Putting yourself on camera is a totally different mind space. You're going to probably look totally different than when you're editing. And you're going to look totally different than when you're coming up with the idea. And like, I think about, just let's even use this concrete example for a minute. When you're putting your face on camera, you're going to want to look your best. You're going to be one of feeling good. You're going to want to have some good lighting available for you. But when you're writing out your caption, you don't care. You could be sitting in sweatpants, laying in bed, writing out your caption. And so when I'm feeling and looking my best, when I'm feeling creative, when I'm feeling ready to go on camera, then I whip out my camera and I record as many as I possibly can. And I just record. I record, I use whatever sounds I have previously saved. I record whatever ideas I have previously come up with. I just record. In fact, I did this yesterday and I remember I got to the end of my hour and I think it was time to make dinner. And I was like, yeah, I think I recorded like 3 or 4. And then I went through my camera roll and I had actually recorded 11. So I had made 11 reels in an hour and I didn't even realize it because I was so focused on just, okay, I'm going to record. I'm done with that one. I'm going to record another one. Done with that one. I'm going to record another one. And then at a separate time, when it's, you know, 10 o'clock at night and I'm laying in bed, or when it's the middle of the day and I'm waiting at the DMV, then I can take my time to edit the video or come up with the caption or do all those other little nitty gritty things.
I love this piece of advice, especially for moms listening in right now, because we might not do our hair and makeup every day. It might be twice a week, but you're saying like, you don't need to know the caption then. Just like go and record the videos, you know, and then give yourself that time and space throughout the week to do the captions and all that. Sometimes we need to hear that permission slip and hear like, okay, he does it differently. So that's okay if I break the rules, you know, and have a different routine than some people. So what do you feel like is the hardest thing about running a membership? Because I know there's a lot of mommy millionaires listening in right now that they want to do a membership because you get to help the masses. And I've always been in the camp of like, if you don't have a big audience, it's going to be really hard for you to run a membership because of the churn rate, you know? And I say, go high ticket in the beginning, one-on-one, which I love that that's how you started out, right? Gained that authority, that expertise, the experience. People are like, duh, okay. So what do you think are some like of the hard things around doing a membership?
Yeah. So I think, first of all, I want to echo everything you just said. I think it's definitely way easier and I would say in a lot of cases, way more advantageous to start with something high ticket, like one-on-one coaching. I mean, anyone listening to this could start one-on-one coaching today with zero setup cost. Because we all have Zoom downloaded on our computers now. You could offer it on your Instagram stories. People could pay you via like PayPal or Venmo, and you could just schedule calls on Zoom. So you could do that today with no setup cost. And it's a lot more high ticket. So it's a lot more expensive and it's high touch. So it's worth that more expensive fee. I think also, like you said, the biggest struggle probably of memberships is just the churn rate. That you constantly have people who are opting out, who are unsubscribing, who are deleting their membership after X number of months. And so I think that that is definitely a challenge. And I think that, like you said, having an established audience or being willing to spend money on advertising and marketing, you need one of the two, if not both, in order to have a successful and long-lasting membership. And then once people get into the membership, there's also the double-edged sword of, you want to make sure people are getting value. You want to make sure that they're getting results, but also you want your membership to be positioned in a way that people need to keep coming back. I think that's one of the biggest differences between a course and a membership. Is a course, you start on step one, you finish on step four, you've learned the skill and you're done. Whereas a membership needs to be positioned as you can be done, so to speak, but there's always more to learn. There's always changes coming. And like I said earlier, that's exactly why we created the Insta Club Hub as a membership. It's because Instagram's always changing. There's always new techniques and new strategies and new features even. And so I think when you are deciding between a course or a membership, really be serious with yourself and look yourself in the mirror and ask, is this something that people can be done with? Like once they learn, they know the skill, or is it something that they're going to need to keep checking in on? They're going to need constant feedback, or they're going to need to stay in the know, so to speak, for an extended period of time.
What a great question. I like framing it that way because there are some things that it's like, I don't need to keep on learning. People have money manifestation. It's like, okay, once you get that down, like it's pretty easy. You don't need to keep learning. It's the law of attraction. You know, so with Instagram, how do you keep up with like knowing all of the new, you know, so you can keep giving it back to your members?
Yeah, I think first of all, I am so deeply entrenched in the world of Instagram. It's kind of crazy at this point. And I think a few ways that I've done that is, first of all, I have over the last few years developed the ability to follow every other industry leader and everyone else in my field and stop myself from comparing myself to them, because I think that's the big trap that a lot of people get into. And so if you're listening and you know that following this person or following that influencer is going to lead you to comparison and feelings of not good enough, unfollow them. But hopefully you can develop the skill of being able to follow those people so that you can learn from them, keep an open ear, and do that without comparing. I think that the greatest skill, or one of the greatest skills, I don't know if it's the greatest, but one of the greatest skills of entrepreneurs is the ability to ask the right questions rather than always have the right answers. I think we often feel like we have to know everything, be the go-to expert, and have all the answers. When in reality, the best skill, one of the best skills you can have, is to just ask the right questions. So being able to follow those experts, ask the right questions. And then also tactically speaking, for myself on Instagram, I religiously check Instagram's blog. I religiously follow all of Instagram's accounts, like the creator's account or at Mosery, which is Adam Mosery, their CEO. And also they have some communications accounts on Twitter that talk about news, talks about bugs, talks about when the app crashes. And I even follow some people on Twitter who, I don't want to call them hackers, but they are very much aware of what Instagram is testing out months before Instagram releases it. And that's a great way to stay ahead of the curve and know what might be coming up around the bend.
I love that. So you're doing your research constantly. You're constantly just like, you're invested in being the best. And that's what I think champions do. And yeah, I think a lot more people need to have that mindset of like, I haven't arrived. You know, I don't know it all today, but every day I'm committed to learning something new so I can give it back to people. So good. So to wrap this up, let's go back to the niche, because I know people are going to be like messaging me, why didn't you ask them? You know, how do I find my niche? And I know that's probably like, oh my gosh, seriously, do I have to answer this question right now? Because it's probably the most popular one you get. But what are some questions? Like you're saying, you know, ask better questions and you're going to get better results. What are some questions that mommy millionaires can ask of themselves to help them find their niche?
I think a lot of times we get hung up when it comes to niche because we think this has to be what I'm most passionate about. This has to be what I'm absolutely the best at. This has to be my calling or my purpose. Like we put so much weight on niche and we think that we're marrying our niche. You're not marrying your niche. You're not getting it tattooed on your forehead. You're just dating it. It's likely going to change in the next few years, if not in the next few months. And you're just dating your niche. That's the first thing. It's not a big commitment. It's you're taking it seriously, but you're not putting a ring on your finger just yet. And so that's the first thing I want to say around niche. And I think also for a lot of entrepreneurs, because we get so caught up in purpose and we get so caught up in what's my calling, we struggle to make money in that. And ultimately, as an entrepreneur, yes, you want to serve people and build community, but also you have to make money in order to be a business that is legitimate and not burning your family into debt. And so rather than starting with what's my calling and going to, you know, all these spiritual experts and guides and going down to random parts of the world to find yourself and release your ego, just look at the market and what opportunities are there. I mean, I think about myself starting with helping parents, specifically moms, keep their kids safe on Snapchat. That was my first business. I wasn't passionate about that business. I believed in it and I was good at it and I knew that there was a market opportunity there, but I wouldn't say I was wildly passionate about being a snitch. I didn't feel like my life calling was to be a social media snitch and to rat out all these teens to their parents about, hey, here's what's really going on over on Snapchat. But I recognized that I had this skill. I had just taught my parents how to use Snapchat and I felt like I could teach other parents to use Snapchat. And also I recognized that I was 19 years old and I knew what was going on that a lot of people didn't know. And also on top of all those things, Snapchat was all over the news. Everyone was talking about Snapchat and it's so scary and messages are disappearing. What do we do? What do we need to know? And so I created a course that was like $19. It was filmed on my phone. The angle was like so low, like you're just looking at my nostrils the entire time. It was filmed in my college dorm room or at my college library. So it was so sloppy and so messy. But I recognized that there was a hole in the market and I recognized that I had the skills to fill it. And then here we are 6-7 years later and I've grown and developed and pivoted and changed into something that I do feel a lot more passionate about and something that can bring in money, but also can fill up my soul, right? And bring me that joy.
So good. I love that. I forgot that you did that. I remember your mom talking about that. And I sound like I'm so old right now. Like, I remember when that happened. But I tell mommy millionaires, sometimes the first business you start is the boring one. But it's the easy one for you because it's something you know, and it's something you could talk about all day long. It's the one you have experience, and it's boring to you because you're like, duh, doesn't everybody know this? But that's where the money is. And then you can bring the money in, and then you could have more options to go after the other business endeavors that you might have. So a lot has changed for you in the last, 7 years. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years going?
Yeah. So this is a great question and one that I don't know if I really have the answer to. I'm a lot more focused right now. I just got married about a month ago.
Congratulations.
Actually exactly a month ago, a month. Thank you. Yeah. It was the 17th. So it was like a month and a day ago. So I'm focused on being the best husband I can be. When we eventually have kids, being the best dad I can be. I want to continue growing the Insta Club Hub, and we're working on some really exciting things, some massive shifts, not just like minor things, like some absolutely massive changes to the Insta Club Hub that's really, really exciting from a business opportunity. And also I'm looking into branching out right now. I am recommitting to TikTok, which I blew up on TikTok in 2019, but I haven't taken it seriously since then. So I'm recommitting to TikTok. And also I'm finally starting to bite the bullet, so to speak, and start posting on YouTube and growing my audience there as well. So now that I've built a sustainable and a really strong community on Instagram, I'm looking to kind of spread that community onto some of the other platforms and reach more people.
I love that. So really just going all in on being an information entrepreneur, just making sure Brock's information is everywhere.
Yep.
And the mindset behind that, let's talk about that before I let you go. The mindset behind that is you're not going in to fail at this. What is your mindset? Like, what are you going in to do?
Yeah, well, I'm going in so that in a few months or a few years, I haven't actually broken down the numbers yet because I just made this commitment over the weekend. My TikTok will be just as prevalent as my Instagram. My YouTube will be just as popular and fast growing as my Instagram. Done it on Instagram. I know I can do it on these other platforms. So I'm really excited that in the next few years, I'm not just going to be the Instagram guy, but I'm going to be able to have this presence on all these other platforms and share my knowledge about all these other apps and social media marketing in general to just a broader audience.
Yeah, the mindset is a long-term game, right? That the play isn't for a couple months to see what your numbers can do over there. It's like you're looking at the long-term play and you plan to win. And I think that's really important to point out is you have to go into it with that, okay, I don't care how long it's going to take me. I know I'm going to win at this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So before I let you go, is there anything else that maybe we didn't cover for our mommy millionaires that they need to start covering on Instagram to promote their businesses?
Yeah, I think we covered it all. I don't think there's anything else I would add. I would just say they just need to get started. If they haven't already, they need to just get started. And if they haven't posted or given themselves permission to be imperfect and to be a real human being, give themselves that permission and really just get started. There is no wrong niche besides no niche at all. That's the only wrong decision. The only wrong decision, so to speak, is inaction. And so I just want everyone listening to just get started today, take action, give yourself permission to be imperfect. And if you make a typo in your post, if your post isn't perfect, if it flops and if it fails, you have my permission to blame it on me. Say, hey, this is Brock's fault. He told me to do this, so it's his fault. And then you can go back to your perfect posting because I'm sure that that's way more enjoyable for you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Brock. And how can our listeners become a part of Insta Club Hub?
The best way to become a part of the Insta Club Hub is to visit instaclubhub.com. But really, I think that the best way is to start by following me on Instagram or on any of these other platforms at Brock11Johnson. And then if you shoot me a DM, I can actually help you get a little bit of a discount code for the Insta Club Hub, a trial offer so you can just check it out and see if it's right for you. I think it's a 2-week trial. So follow me on Instagram at Brock11Johnson and then shoot me a DM and I'll help you get set up.
Awesome. We'll make sure to link everything up in the show notes. Thank you so much for coming on and joining me on Mommy Millionaire.
Yep. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for tuning in and listening all the way through on the Mommy Millionaire Show. Make sure to subscribe anywhere that you're listening to podcasts at. And if you happen to have iTunes, would you do me a favor and leave a review of the show? And of course, make it honest. I know you're going to give me a 5-star, right? That's the way that we get this message out to more and more people around the world. Remember, as you do that, whatever you wish to receive, you have to give it first. And so giving a review, you know, something good is going to come your way today. Take the time and do that. Plus, I know you're the type of person who wants to really help people live their best life as well. So you could copy this link, share it out there with your friends, share it on social media. Remember, people need to be inspired more than ever right now. And I know you can help me on this mission. Thank you so much for being a part of the Mommy Millionaire podcast. Until next time, make sure to go after your dreams by being the person you were truly meant to be. Wealthy, happy, peaceful, and full of life. Love you.